Good evening. On the website family out there, we're already talking to the website people, but here's the video people. We are looking tonight at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go there, 1 Corinthians 13. We've got to get Daniel to bed here tonight, so we'll get started here. And we're going to look at something that I probably talked about this before, because I really do, my memory is just horrible. But if it's on my mind, I guess I'll preach it anyway, or teach it, whatever. It's not the young, grumpy guy you heard Sunday morning, that's for sure. Those days seem to be gone. But no, we're looking at this thing where people, I guess, because the Bible says they have the mind of Christ, then you must assume the fact that God is just going to teach them stuff, just like that. And there's no need for a Bible as such, because God's going to teach it to me. And 1 Corinthians 13, you know, it talks about a knowledge in verse 8. It says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, you know. And while there's still prophecies and referring to preaching and teaching God's words there, they shall fail. Well, that, I mean, a lot of sermons mean nothing, but they still exist. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Then there's this, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so many people have said to me, well, come on, knowledge still exists today. It's not, you can't possibly be talking about knowledge, period. And so, he says there, for we know in part, and what we've learned from Paul's teachings to his people then, that they were. God gave them stuff in part. He gave them what they could handle. He did that in the Gospels, and he does it with this time with Paul. But yet, and we know that which is perfect, it says right there, when that which is perfect, how's it go here? When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, which is there in part, see, the tongues, the knowledge, and the prophecies, shall be done away. Okay, so this knowledge thing, how can this knowledge thing be put away? Look at 1 John chapter 3. We've been here before as well. And I really believe that people, think that God just gives them what he needs to give them. And we see here, but the anointing in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, as in truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we see here that during this time, that these folks are going to be anointed with what God wants to teach to them. Okay? I mean, that's what that's saying. And if everybody says that this 1 John stuff is for today, is written to two people today, then that has to be included. Then, you know, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So we got this arrogant righteousness, this honorable and devout Christianity, supposedly, and they believe that God, you know, teaches them. As if they are the anointed ones, and God will teach them. And that just still bothers me greatly, because they're looking to Jesus to be their magic man. And when we look at that anointing thing right there, which is very close to what's going to be going on during the millennium, again, kind of a bridge in there as well. So yes, they will be anointed during the tribulation, but what goes on in the even after that is even more wondrous, because if they tell anybody, if they try to teach anybody anything, God will kill them. And I'll show you that here tonight. So, going back to 1 Corinthians 13, where is this knowledge supposed to come from today? If we go back into Corinthians, for example, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And this is what people would do. They would go, well, here's what it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Well, I'm a Christian, and it says right here that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Okay, so it sounds to me like Christ is going to enrich me, by him. He's going to do this to me. He's going to give me this all utterance and in all knowledge. And it's by him. And obviously, him is a real person. He's a risen person. So now he's going to do that to me. He's going to fill me with all this stuff. Well, look at chapter 8, verse 1. How do we deal with this? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And Paul warns this knowledge puffeth these people up. Well, where did they get this knowledge? In this case, it's knowledge dealing with idols. Because he says in verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. Okay, so how come some people have this knowledge and some people don't? And if we see in verse 10, for if any man see thee which has knowledge, well, what knowledge? Well, this is about the idol thing. And he could cause somebody else to stumble. Well, where do these guys get this knowledge from? Look at chapter 12, verse 8. What we're looking at here is we're looking at verses that show that before 1611, I believe that's the 1611, the King James Bible, that before that which is perfect came, this is the knowledge that God was given to these people. Now we're looking at 1 Corinthians. What are we looking at here? We're looking at here. What is it up here? What are they doing here? Where am I at here? Knowledge buff is up here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's all there. Mm-hmm. 12:8. No. 8:11. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 8:11. I don't think that's what I said, but I might have skipped it. 8:11 says here, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Well, what knowledge here are we supposed to have? 12:8. Okay, 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So it looks, as you go through this stuff in Corinthians, then the Spirit of God gave knowledge to certain people. And it says here, gave wisdom to certain people. So, is this how we get our knowledge? We know the answer. We could go to the conclusion right now and let Daniel go to bed. Obviously, it's the King James Bible. But let's just look at this thing tonight from a scriptural standpoint and have, again, the assurance of knowing that this Bible says what it says about itself, about this knowledge. It's not just not our opinion type of a thing here. So even though we know this book enough to know that the source of knowledge today is in the King James Bible, if you don't read your King James Bible, you will learn nothing about God or Jesus Christ. Zip. God's not going to teach you anything. Okay, so, for to one is given by the Spirit. Well, one of the verses people always throw at me is in John chapter 14. Okay, well, and it's a true verse. I don't say that it's not true. Where he talks about here that he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, he says here. But then he talks about this comforter, and he says, verse 26, chapter 14, verse 26, is DJ there tonight? I would imagine. He's there, he's doing homework. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, okay, so that answers that, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay, so we learn here that Jesus tells this Spirit, the Spirit of God, what to teach us. Again, this is before what? This is before anybody had a Bible. They had Isaiah, they had the Old Testament scriptures, the parchments. Well, of course, Paul even said, let's go, and they said, but don't forget the parchments, So then we look at verse 26, where it says, the Comforter will teach us all things. And then you go to chapter 16, and you see in verse 13, similar statement, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So Jesus, this is an anti-Pentecostal verse here too, because they praise the Lord, but they give all the emphasis and all the PR to the Spirit. The Spirit's here, all this kind of stuff. No, this Spirit is supposed to speak about Jesus Christ, not itself. Right there kind of kills the Pentecostal crowd, but doesn't matter. So yeah, these are two verses that say the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach people. Well, he still does. But the difference here is, how does he speak to us? How does he teach us today? Well, through a King James Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Because before that came about, God did teach these people, just like he said, just like Jesus said in the Gospels, through the Great Commission, through even this first era with Paul. Because see, during Paul's time, they didn't have the Bible. Paul was the Bible. And 1611 is way past Paul's time. So we've got to recognize that when we see things in here where it says God gave them knowledge and God gave them this, we can't sit back without a Bible and expect the same thing. And it's proven, that statement is proven by rightly dividing, looking to Paul. Let's look at some more verses where Paul says that, you know. He says in chapter 1 Corinthians 13. He says in 1 Corinthians 13:2, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Well, people got to remember that this is Paul talking here, not us. This is not a verse that shows us, you know, that we have all knowledge. But I will say this, just because I'll probably forget it later. This King James Bible is all knowledge. Anyway. But see, during his time, Paul had this all knowledge. It was a gift. Look at 14:6, 1 Corinthians 14:6. These have to be the verses these people find, if they look at their Bible at all. And who knows what the modern versions say for these verses. That gives them the thought that God is going to speak to them, you know, well, of course he can't speak through a Bible because there's no Bible that isn't touched by man. These are all tainted by man's, you know, that kind of thing. So, of course, Christ is going to teach me something, personally, without any Bible, just while I sleep or something. And that disturbs me because that's enabled people to throw their Bibles out and go by feelings, which is exactly what it says for the tribulation when it says people will be sensual. They'll be going by feelings. This verse in 14:6, I think it was, right? 14:6, yep, thank you, Mark, or Peter. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation? Oh, see, here's where these guys get this stuff. God, with revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or doctrine. So those four words these guys are going to go to. See, now, we don't believe in speaking in tongues, so I'm going to speak to you, either God's going to show me something, tell me something, teach me something in knowledge, or he's going to give me what to preach, or he's going to show me this. Yeah, you get all this in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, for some have not the knowledge of God. Well, why not? Well, he's putting the blame on these guys for not telling them. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So these people, Paul and his crowd, had to go out and tell people about this knowledge of God. Paul would teach people, or God would teach people through him himself. Christ would teach people through him himself. And God and Christ would teach the people through Paul. But today, which is a Bible time, people still look back at this and they think this is how God is still going to teach us. He's either going to teach us through a man, he's going to preach something to us, or God is going to impress upon my heart or teach me something in my little brain and my little heart, and I'll just know what's right and what's wrong. Because I'm anointed, as it says here in 1 John chapter 3. This has to be the way of thinking for these people today. A couple more here. It says here in 2 Corinthians 2:14. You'll see why people think the way they do. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Wow, in other words, it says here, you know, thanks be to God, God always causes us to triumph in Christ, and God also makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us. Who's by us? Well, it'd be Paul and his gang. Okay, but we don't have Paul and his gang today. So where is Christ going to manifest the savor of his knowledge? In the Bible. Look at Ephesians 1:17. I'm sure you know where they're going to run to this thing. That the God of our knowledge, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Is he just going to give that to us? Just do? No, it's got to be through this Bible. Well, how can that be? Again, we see more support for 1 Corinthians 13:10. That has to be the King James Bible. In other words, God was giving people this stuff up until 1611. And there's always that transition time in there, you know, so not to the exact day. But if you want the spirit of wisdom and revelation, say, what do you got to do? You got to read your Bible. And if you want to have some wisdom, you need to rightly divide that thing. And revelation, God isn't going to... We're going to get no revelation aside from what we learned in our Bible. And haven't you read something a couple times and you read it again in a couple weeks and somehow it's like, well, this verse wasn't in here before. Yeah, I believe that's called revelation, revealing. God opened up that verse to you because now you're ready to handle it. Maybe we were just kind of skimming through to get her 10 pages in. And you read it next time just because the sermon was boring, so you're kind of flipping through your Bible, and this verse really reached out and grabbed you. That's God's revelation. He's not going to give you something new like Paul was given, you know, the chapter 3, he says here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and reveal unto me the mystery in chapter 3. God is not going to reveal something to us aside from this Bible. But all the other illustrations in this Bible are because they didn't have a Bible. Again, we see that people really don't give the Bible the credit it's due anymore. They just don't see any Bible as the one God would speak through. Well, I'm sorry, but there is just one. Always has been, always will be here. Look down here at Ephesians 4:13. Purpose of the pastor, for example, till we all in the local church, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, how are we going to get this knowledge of the Son of God? From the pastor? Or God's going to give it to you? Could it possibly be that the knowledge of the Son of God is preached and taught from a King James Bible, which is what it has to be done? In verse 9, Philippians 1:9, he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge." Well, this love abounding more and more in knowledge, where are you going to get this knowledge from? Is this something that God just kind of drops on you magically? Look at Colossians 1:9. This has to be where they get their verses from, if they're Bible people at all. Colossians 1:9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spirit, show understanding." Oh, okay. So let's just pray that God will fill me with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. No. How about you open up your Bible and start reading it? You want to have some wisdom here? You want to have this knowledge? You want to have a spiritual understanding? Rightly divide your Bible and read that thing cover to cover. we see in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, yeah, but how are they going to come into the knowledge of the truth today? In those days, God would tell them. The prophets would tell them. Gospel days, Jesus would actually teach the people. And up until 1611, God would teach them these things and give them this knowledge. Paul's teachings, that kind of a thing. But what about today? Is God going to just kind of fill us with that knowledge? Well, you're from reading our Bible, obviously. Now, those are just some verses that show why people think the way they do about this magical Jesus who's going to teach them this stuff. So, let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get that? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Sure, it says shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's the Bible. Where else are you going to be able to tell people this knowledge of the glory of God? Where did you get this from? From a King James rightly divided Bible. Again, we go back to Ephesians 1:17. We just mentioned it earlier, but it's worth repeating. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Where are we going to learn the knowledge of Him today? In that Bible. Is He going to pull these plugs and teach us all the knowledge of Him? In some, you know, some in your heart or whatever, you read your Bible. Now, if we were to go into the tribulation books, well, really, let's try it. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so these people need to have grace and peace multiplied to them through what? Well, they get it through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. So how is this going to be done in the tribulational days? Well, look at verse 8, 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's more stipulations there. You've got to have this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's based on works. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. So you have to grow in it. You have to grow in this knowledge. Your knowledge just isn't immediately zapped in there. My point is this. In the tribulation, it's still got to come from Jesus. Of course it does. It still has to come from the Holy Spirit. Of course it does. John teaches us that. But how do they specifically get this thing? Is it get it out of a Bible during the tribulation? Well, remember, go back to 1 John. Remember what he said back in 1 John. This anointing which ye have received in 1 John is a tribulational book. So these people eventually will be anointed, and they need not that any man teach them anything. Well, that's pretty interesting. But then we also know that the Spirit of God is upon their flesh to do the things they need to do. So are they going to have a Bible available to them to look into, just like we do today? Well, I think you probably all know where I'm headed right here. We're going to Amos. Going to go to Amos. Amos 8. Which tells of a coming famine. Famine of what? Behold, the day shall come in verse 11, chapter 8. Saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Does this mean that the Bible is not going to be available? No, it just says, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Nobody's going to be talking about it. Nobody's going to be preaching the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. But there'll be an anointing. And they'll have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. So the source is still different. We have the King James Bible as our source for knowledge and all the things that come from having the knowledge of the risen Savior. The more you read, the more you learn. But in the tribulation here, sure, these things are coming from God. But not many people are going to have the book, and not many people are going to be preached through that book. But that's where they're going to have to go to get it. It's going to be pretty tough. And then let's go to Revelation 22. We got people that still claim these verses, Revelation 22, and I did for years. When I first got saved, in Revelation 22, verse 6. And then I want 22, 18 and 19. There it is, 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, and if any man shall take away the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. So why doesn't that happen today? We get people taken away from the book and adding book words and verses all the time. Well, see, this isn't to us today. Let's look at 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. Skip down to verse 10 here. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Oh, really? Yeah. Blessed are they in verse 14 that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. That's not today. So where are they getting their knowledge from then? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. So it's going to go back to God just teaching people. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, yeah, there's that remission stuff there. Look at chapter 9. Look at chapter 9. Verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, not the way into the holiest of all, was not yet made manifest while at the first tabernacle was yet standing. Which was a figure for the time and present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience. So things are different during this tribulation. Things are greatly different. Now, let's see if I can find this thing here. Hebrews 10. We did 16, 17, Hebrews 9, 8 to 11. Oh, you know what? I don't want chapter 9. I want chapter 8. That's why it didn't make sense here. It kind of did, but not quite. Chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. See, this is a new covenant thing that's heading up for him.
For this is the covenant that I will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So there's going to come a time again where God's going to put this stuff in their minds and in their hearts. But that's not today. We have a Bible. Now, how does the Spirit of God teach to us? Teaches us through this Bible. That's not that hard. That's not hard for us to understand that type of a thing. So there's a famine coming up. But God's going to still teach these people what they need to be taught. He's going to give them the Spirit of God upon their flesh to help them do what they have to do. And John 14 and John 16 hasn't changed. It's just that the Holy Spirit teaches us through the Bible today. That's all. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. But when we hear these people say, God told me. Well, no, God didn't tell you. Other than through your Bible reading, he might have. Now, I heard something this morning that just was just, it just, I hear this stuff all the time. I'm riding with a lady to work who drives like a maniac. Other side of the lane, back and forth, cell phoning, the whole spiel. 67 to 80 miles an hour, even on ice. Bounce, going back over lane to lane. And today she just mentioned, well, I'll just have to pray myself there safely again. And, you know, if you drive over 85 miles over a curve and it's icy, God is not going to stop your car from crashing. Well, this is the modern Christian thing. He's really a magical God. He's like rubbing a lamp and a genie comes out. God's like a genie to these people. If you're living good enough, God will protect me on the way to work. Really? You really think that's true while you drive 85 miles an hour on this curve, but it just snowed? It's amazing how people hate this Bible. They just think God is going to show them something. God's going to magically be there. God's going to, sure, he's going to show us something. He's going to show us something as we read. We're going to see some wisdom from these books and chapters. We're going to learn some things. And he is the one teaching us. But he's doing it through the tool of this King James Bible. Any other Bible is not God's word. He can't be teaching through that thing. Well, who's the God of this world? He would love to teach through a Bible. He would love to take somebody who believes in rightly dividing the word of truth through Paul and change their mind. It happens a lot. Happens way too lot. So we saw verses tonight in early Corinthians and where God gave these people this knowledge as did Paul. Then we recognize, well, that which is perfect has come. All this other stuff from God is going to stop. The speaking in tongues, the doctrine stuff, I forgot what I was saying. So anyway, God's going to teach us that stuff, but through a King James Bible. So DJ, if you want God to teach you something, you just read your Bible. Well, I'm going to teach me really soon. Well, you can't read the whole Bible tonight, but you can read the whole Bible in less than a week. I think you have to go to school and stuff, though. So you got to take a little longer than that. And then when you're done, what do? You start over, read it again. Study some of the places you get interested in. Let God speak to you. And then when you go someplace, leave the radio off or leave the iPods out of your ears so you can think about what it was that you were preached at or what you read. We do that. Everybody gets out of church and boom, in go the earpieces and they never hear themselves think again. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, hope that made sense. The knowledge comes from the book. It comes from God. It comes from the risen Savior. It comes from the Spirit of God. But it all comes through the King James Bible as rightly divided to us or for us. It's all there for us. But there's still a segment, that's Paul's part, that's to us.